The following message was given by Brothers Frank Hong and Isaac Chang in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, August 11th, 2019. The title of the message is Abiding in Christ as the Empowering One, the Secret of Experiencing Christ. Scripture readings, Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So this week we come to the title for this week's message is on Abiding in Christ as the Empowering One, the Secret of Experiencing Christ. So we have been several weeks in the book of Philippians to see the importance and how to practically experience the wonderful Christ that we have received. Hallelujah! We are Christians, and a Christian is one who have received Christ into him. And not only that, but we have been placed into Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it tells us that it is of God that you are in Christ Jesus, both redemption, sanctification, and both righteousness and redemption, sanctification and redemption. So we are in Christ. And this matter of being in Christ is a basic and crucial revelation of the New Testament. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. So today's message, or what we have enjoyed this week, are based on these two verses from Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. And I'd like to read these two verses again. I know also how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In everything and in all things, I have learned the secret, both to be filled and to hunger, both to abound and to lack. I am able to do all things in him who empowers me. Now, in verse 12, there's this phrase, I have learned, I know also how to be abased. Now, we all like to learn how to. You know, Christian bookstores are filled with books that teach you how to, right? And many times, we just want to know, how do I do this? How do I live a successful Christian life? Well, we come to these two verses today. I hope we can receive some benefit and help from the Word of God to see how to live in Christ, who is the one who empowers us. Now, Paul here has discovered a secret. And the word secret in Greek means joining a secret society to learn all its rudimentary principles. So he has joined a club. He has found out the secrets of how to live in Christ, or how to have a successful Christian life by being empowered in Christ. And don't you like to learn this secret? I like to learn this secret. And this secret has a lot to do with the fact that we are in Christ. You know, I looked through the book of Philippians this week, and I discover that this phrase, in Christ Jesus, or in the Lord, or in him, are mentioned many times. I believe altogether 22 times. Paul mentioned many times that he wants to be found in him. I'll just read a few examples. He wants to be found in him. And we need to rejoice in the Lord Jesus. So for us to realize that Christ not only lives in us, but we are in him, it's very important to our experiencing of Christ. And earlier this week, I was really helped by the example of being in a car, or an illustration of a car. And Paul was in the Roman prison when he wrote the book of Philippians. But in his realization, he physically was in the Roman prison. Outwardly, he was not able to do a lot of things for the Lord, but he desired to be found in Christ. And here, he says that he has learned a secret that he's able to do all things in him who empowers me. So this illustration that I read earlier during the week really helped me, and I just like to read a little bit. Most of us do not know how to apply the fact that we are in Christ. Take riding in a car to meeting as an example. My secret in coming to the meeting is simply to sit in the car and not let anyone out. My secret in coming to the meeting is simply to sit in the car and to let someone else drive. What a problem it would be if I refused to get into the car, or did not like being in the car and did certain foolish things to get out of the car. On the day we were saved, God put us into the heavenly car, the best car in the universe. The name of this car is Christ. On the day we are saved, we were put into him. If we would exercise to be in him in a practical way, we would not be so active to do so many things on our own. Instead, we would simply rest and be at peace. If we're in Christ, we shall be at peace and not endeavor to overcome negative things such as our temper. Although we were put into Christ on the day we were saved, to the feeling of many Christians, they are not yet in Christ. So to be in Christ, this is a fact, right? But in our experience, many times we are not willing to ride in the car of Christ. Or sometimes we try to get out, or we try to take over, to be the driver. I'd like to read another portion here. We can do all things in him who empowers us. For example, as long as we're in the car, everything is all right. For the car with the driver can take us where we need to go. As we are riding along in the car, we can enjoy a pleasant time of sightseeing. Learn to be quiet in Christ. He never makes a mistake. Sometimes it may seem that he has made a mistake, but actually this is so that you may have a longer ride. Enjoy more sightseeing and learn more lessons. The Christian life surely is a wonderful life. I was reminded of this this Friday when I was driving my children to the airport. They're going to California for a training. And as I was driving, most of us have the experience of driving in the car. And when I get into the car, I want to drive, right? And I always try to see where am I going and what's the shortest time for me to get there. We were planning to leave at a certain time and it didn't happen. We left half an hour later. And when I was driving, I decided to take a different route because I thought that route might be faster during the day. So I took that route, but lo and behold, it was stuck. I was stuck in traffic for another half an hour. And as I was waiting for the traffic, and actually someone just decided to do some yard work on Cross Island Parkway. So there was a whole backup on Cross Island Parkway. So I was driving, I said, oh Lord, I need to get there at a certain time. You know, their flight is at this certain time. So this word just came back to me. Many times in our Christian life, we think that we know where we're going. But actually we don't, right? We strive to get there. And we strive to use our own effort to please the Lord, to do the best for the Lord. But many times, we're lost or we're stuck somewhere. So I really enjoy this illustration of the secret of being in Christ. We need to stop ourselves. We need to learn to be quiet in Christ. The Lord doesn't want you to please him according to your own effort. But many times, it's just so easy for us to have our own way, to have our own preference. We want to do the things that we want. And sometimes it's to please the Lord. But the Lord has other plans. Sometimes he might take a longer route. Sometimes he's not in a hurry. So we need to learn to be in Christ and to rest in him. He knows where he is going, and he knows how to get there and what's the best way to get there. So for us to be in Christ is first that we need to stop ourselves. We need to come to the Lord, enjoy the Lord. And I enjoy the context of these verses. Paul did not speak this at a time where he was doing a lot of work for the Lord. He was in a prison, and there was some supply from the saints in Philippi, but for a period of time, that supply has stopped. And now it seems that the saints in Philippi has remembered him again, and so he thanked the Lord. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. So he was in a new situation or a new environment in which he realized that he need to be in Christ. And he can do all things in the one who empowers us. Here, the emphasis is he is able. Not he himself, but he is able to do all things in Christ who empowers him. And also, it doesn't mean that he is free to do everything he wants. But he has found a secret that when he abides in Christ, when he turns to Christ, Christ practically becomes the secret to supply him, to energize him, to help him to see where he's going and what he should do. So this should be our practice as well. We all know that we're in Christ doctrinally, but how much in our experience are we in Christ? Have we tapped into the wonderful Christ who is the secret, who is the empowering one that can get us through any situation? Now, because this is in a new environment and new situation, you know, Paul here makes a contrast between abounding, meaning that he has enough to live by, or when he has lack, that he doesn't have that much. He is in a poor condition. So whenever we're in a new environment or new condition, that's a very good time for us to learn this lesson or this secret that we are in Christ, that Christ is there ready to empower us. I was considering this week, well, am I in any new situation or new environment? Seemingly, I am not. But actually, you know, we all go through things. Maybe not as big as moving to another place, but maybe there's some change in your work situation or in your family situation. Some of us are single and considering getting into a relationship. Some of us are waiting for new ones to arrive. Babies are on the way. That will change your living situation. And some of us are getting a little older. I sent two of my four kids away to a training that will last about 3 months. So I'm getting to that stage of being an empty nester, right? So that's a little change. On the one hand, I'm happy that my kids are growing up, becoming independent. But on the other hand, I'm a little fearful, you know. My wife and I, what are we going to do when all my kids are growing up and living a life of their own? So there are many situations that we go through. Or it could be our health, that our health just take an unexpected turn. That may be a new situation that, you know, every human being goes through changes or new situations. But have we learned this secret that Paul has learned? Have we learned that Christ is sufficient, that his grace is enough to meet all of our needs, whether in a good situation or in a bad situation? Another thing the Lord reminded me is, you know, last year we purchased a house in Stony Brook, Long Island. We had no idea of buying a house. But, you know, when we gave the offer to the seller, me, my wife, and the sister who is our broker, we are all very clear that this if this deal goes through, is absolutely of the Lord. According to this sister, who is a very experienced real estate broker, she said 99% of the time, the seller is not going to accept your offer. But the next day, we heard from the seller, he accepted our offer. Well, where does this 1% come from? It came from the Lord. You know, we're very clear, it's nothing of our own doing. This is something that the Lord wants to do. Well, a year later, you know, in a sense, I'm a new homeowner again. There's a lot of things you have to do with the new house. And we're renting it out to some students near Stony Brook Universities. So a lot of things that they're new to me. So as I'm going through, many times I have to just stop all my planning, what I think is the best, and I have to turn to the Lord. Lord, what do you want to do? This is not my house. This is your house. Lord, what do you want to do? And this week, the Lord just brought that experience back to me. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning this secret of how to do all things in Christ who empowers us. So this is an ongoing lesson. And I hope we all have an attitude that we're learning. We're learning to follow the Lord in His body, wherever He wants to go, and whatever lesson He wants us to learn. And a change could be, the Lord may touch you to move somewhere. I also remember our dear brother Paul and sister Donna, who had recently moved to Connecticut. I don't know how many of you are thinking of moving. Naturally, we don't like to move, right? We don't like to leave our comfortable situation and go into a new situation. But as the Lord is going on in the church, as we see that He's doing so much in the church in New York City, we have to move together with Him. And we just need to be open. We're going to have Hall 9 in Staten Island very soon, starting the meeting. And this week I was talking to another brother. What about Hall 10? Where do you think Hall 10 is going to be? Well, the Lord wants to move. This week in one of the home meeting, we were reading Acts chapter 8, or the end of chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, in the beginning, there was a great persecution. And the church in Jerusalem was under such a great persecution that almost everybody has to move. They were scattered. And it mentioned in verse 4, it says they were scattered. They were forced out of Jerusalem. And almost everybody left except the apostles. So in a sense, they were forced out by the Lord. But the Bible called that a scattering. The Lord actually is sending them out so that the gospel can go forward. And we were reading something from the life study, and I was really touched with this paragraph, and I want to share with you. The saints in all the churches should be encouraged to migrate. If the saints in a certain locality do not migrate, eventually that locality will become a, quote, Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is a reservoir for the water from the River Jordan. Once the water from the Jordan reaches the Red Sea, it does not proceed any further. If the church in a particular locality is to avoid becoming such a Dead Sea, a quote canal must be dug to allow the water to flow out. Perhaps 10% of the saints in the locality migrate each year. This will allow for the necessary outflow without devastating the church. Furthermore, if water is allowed to flow out, more water will flow in. Amen. So here, the brother suggests that every year 10% of the church will migrate out. Do you have a heart to say amen? I know I won't, naturally speaking. But I've been learning to say, Lord, I'm willing. If this is your will to send me somewhere, I want to learn the lesson of how to do all things in you who empowers me. It is your work, it is your church, and it is wherever you want me to go. So it used to be, no way, Lord. I'm not going anywhere. This is, here is perfect. I like to be here. But now I'm just learning, Lord, amen. You want me to do this? Amen. You want me to go there? Amen. So we have to learn to say amen to the Lord. It is the Lord who are directing us. He is the car that we need to get into and not worry about where to go. He knows where to go, and he knows how to take us there. And then one small point that I enjoy practically is to learn this secret of being in Christ as the empowering one, is to learn to abide in Christ. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in you, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So this actually is a converse of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things in him who empowers me. But John chapter 15, verse 5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need to realize that apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. Even what you can do is not something pleasing to the Lord. So we have to learn to abide in Christ and let the Lord abide in us. But this week I had this question, do I abide first or does he abide first? Do I abide in Christ first or does he abide in me first? Now doctrinally, he comes into me first, right? When I believe in the Lord and receive him as my personal Savior. But in experience, and especially through 15, John chapter 15, verse 7. Yeah, John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if my words abide in you, as what? Let me read that. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. So there's this point during the week that for us to practically abide in the Lord is actually to have his word abiding in us. So to have Christ abiding in us, to have the word of Christ abiding in us for the bearing of the remaining fruit for his glory. And I feel this is a very practical point. You have to abide in his word by coming to read his word. So this week the Lord has been touching me concerning my Bible reading. Now, I was with the young people in the Summer School of Truth, which this year we're covering the topic is the Bible, the Word of God. We need to be in the Word. You have to first physically open up the Bible to read it so that that's your abiding in Christ. So very practically, you have to come to the Word. But then, as you come to the Word, you're not just trying to read something in a way of knowledge. You have to let that Word that you've read abide in you. Colossians 3:16 is another good verse. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, all wisdom and in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another, right? But just the first part, that the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So first I have to come to the word, open up the word, abide in the word. Then I have to allow the word of Christ to dwell in me richly. That is the word that I've read, the word that I've heard. I need to consider them and allow the Lord to speak to me. When we're in his word, and throughout the day when we allow the word of Christ to dwell in us, to speak to us, then practically the Lord can empower us and strengthen us. And so that is a practical way for us to abide in Christ and have Christ abide in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How about let's sing that little chorus as we transition to Brother Isaac. He's able. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me.
Amen. He's able.
Amen.
You know, this week I feel like our brother Frank has already given us a very good overview of the burden in the verses and in the ministry this week. So I just want to share a few points that that the Lord touched me, and then I hope that all the saints would be faithful to the Lord's leading to share what they've enjoyed this week. You know, the title in the morning watch, I don't know if you paid attention, how much attention you paid to it, but I was actually quite struck even by the title. It says, Abiding in Christ as the Empowering One, the Secret of Experiencing Christ. You know, I don't think I've ever associated abiding with empowering before. When I think of power, in the context of the Lord's work, I usually think about someone preaching the gospel and getting many people saved, or giving a message in front of a big group, or performing something miracle, right, like healing or something miraculous. That's what I think about when I think about power. So I think about something outward, but abiding is something inward, right? It's actually quite mysterious, right? Christ abides in us, and we abide in him. How does that work, actually? Not so clear, right? And what does it mean to abide? To abide, it just means to be found in him, right? Or to rest in them, to stay there, stay in him. These are not words you'd associate with power, right? But actually, saints, we need to see the only way for us to do anything, to experience the Lord as the empowering one, first, we need to abide in him. And he needs to abide in us. We need to take care of this abiding first, right? It's easy to think about the outward things, everything that needs to be done, everything that needs to be coordinated, everything that, you know, I was just considering, you know, the brothers, the summer is very busy for many of the brothers, right? There's the training, and then there's the college training, and then the Chinese speaking perfecting training, and then the summer school of truth, and then that ends today, and then there's a few weeks break, and then the semester starts, and then, you know, we have a time with the college students, and then we have the time with the working saints, and then it's easy actually to think about all the outward things, all the things that need to be taken care of, all the but actually, the Lord touched me this week. First, we need to take care of this abiding. You know, Paul, when he wrote the book of Philippians, you know, Bible historians tell us he'd been saved for quite some time already, maybe around 26 years or so. So he wasn't a new Christian, right? He wasn't a new believer. But I think if you read the book of Philippians, you can see he wasn't contented. Right, he wasn't complacent. All throughout the book of Philippians, there are these words, stretching forward, right, pursuing. He didn't think he had arrived. You know, this week I was touched how much I need to have the same spirit as Paul, right? Someone who, you know, even this matter of Paul saying, I have learned the secret, right? To say he's learned the secret, it means he went through a process to learn something, right? It means he didn't know something, and then you learned it. Actually, to learn is just to have to, right? What does it mean to be a disciple? To be a disciple is to be someone's student or to learn from someone. Paul had a spirit of a learner, and you know, my prayer is, Lord, I would also have this spirit, right? I can't say that I've learned the secret yet, but my prayer is, Lord, at least make me one who is learning the secret, right? You know, day by day, cause me to learn a little more this secret. You know, even this verse, you know, often in Philippians 4, these verses maybe are very familiar to us, and it says, I am able to do all things. And maybe my focus always is on the all things. But actually, it's the two words after that maybe are even more important. I can do all things in him, in Christ, right? In him who empowers me. Right, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Frank brought out this verse. Objectively, we have been put in Christ. Positionally, we are in Christ. But subjectively, in our experience, we also need to be in him. So, how do we experience, you know, I was considering this, you know, these verses in John that talk about the mutual abiding, even 1 John 2:27 that we read, right? What does it say? It refers to this. It says, you know, the anointing which you've received from him abides in you. And then it says, even as it has taught you, abide in him. So you might, if you think a lot about this, it might be hard to apprehend. How does he abide in us? And how do we abide in him? But I touched this week, actually, to experience this is not hard. It may be hard to comprehend, but actually to experience this is actually very basic. You know, in the verses towards the end of the week, it talks about this matter of the anointing. And maybe I think many of us are familiar with the term anointing. You know, we use it generally to refer to the operating or moving of God within us. I think I was impressed this week, you know, the Bible uses this word anointing. Anointing, and I'm not an English major, but it is what is called a gerund, right? It's an action noun, right? That means something's happening, right? The anointing is refers to something that is going on within our being, right? It's something active. You know, what is the anointing? It's not just, so in the Old Testament, right, if someone became a king or a priest, they needed to be anointed. And so there was oil or an ointment that was poured on this person, and that was the anointing. And this oil in the Old Testament, I don't have time to get into all of this, but refers to the Spirit, right? And you know, in Luke 4:18, and this is a quotation actually from Isaiah 61:1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me," right? So how can today, how can we experience the anointing? I was touched. Practically speaking, actually, what does it mean to abide? You know, one of the experiences we need to have in order to be in this mutual abiding is we need to follow the anointing, right? And there's a picture in Leviticus chapter 14, which is the cleansing of the leper. You know, in type, we're all lepers, right? We're all sinners. And in the flesh, we all have sin. And so for the cleansing of the leper, actually first there needed to be blood applied, right, to the leper's ear and to their right thumb and then to the big toe on their right foot. And after the blood was applied, then the ointment was applied. What does this signify? This actually signifies, saints, we need the experience of Christ's blood, right? We never graduate from the experience of Christ's blood. This might, even this matter of confessing our sins, I've been hearing lessons about this since I was a young person many decades ago. I think it seems a very basic thing, but I was touched. You know, I was touched in this way. You know, these messages and not only the brothers here who are caring for us in the church here, when they pick these messages that we're going through, but also these messages are what we're getting into are messages that were released in the Memorial Day conference. These aren't random topics, but actually this is the Lord's leading as to what is the current need, right? What is the current need in his recovery, and what is his current need in the church? What is the current need of those of us here who are in the church here? And I was touched, you know, actually, it's easy to take something like taking the blood for granted, right? You know, if I offend somebody, if I say something in a wrong way to someone in my family or to one of my kids, or if I have a not so proper attitude at work, these things are all very common, right? Actually, but if we just let it go, if we just don't pay attention to it, we think, oh, it's not a big deal. Well, actually, we need to see this can cut us off or prevent us from having the experience of this mutual abiding. And so anyway, I was just touched. You know, this is not something that we ever graduate from. On one hand, this matter of abiding is very, this matter of abiding can seem somewhat mysterious and deep, and it is. But on the other hand, for us to experience this abiding is so basic. Right? First, we need to, every day, we need to have the continual experience of the Lord's blood. We need to confess our sins. This matter, 3 weeks ago, we were getting into this matter of the enjoyment of Christ, right? In the morning watch, there was this brought out this distinction between experiencing Christ in our spirit and enjoying Christ in our soul. Right in Philippians 2:5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If we're not one with him in our soul, we can't enjoy him. There's no problem in our spirit, right? The Lord has a free way to move in our spirit, and so we can experience Christ. But if we're not one soul with him, that can affect, limit, or even keep us from enjoying him. But how can we be one mind with Christ? Right? In the Bible, it talks about being like-souled. How can we? We need to be those who follow the anointing. I feel this is very practical. When the head wants, in the outline for the message this week, it says when the head wants a member of the body to move, he intimates it through the inner anointing. And as we yield to the anointing, the life flows freely from the head to us. If we resist the anointing, our relationship with the head is interfered with, and the flow of life within us is stopped. Right? Even in Colossians 2:19, it talks about the characteristic of someone who would defraud the saints is someone who does not hold the head. And this anointing, often we think about what we should do in terms of right and wrong, right? We think about, is this sinful or not sinful? Is this proper or not proper? But actually, the anointing goes beyond that. You can see in Acts 16, the Spirit forbade Paul and Silas from preaching the word in Asia, from going where they wanted to go. Surely, there's nothing wrong, right? There's nothing objectively sinful, or it should be a good thing to preach the word. But it says the Spirit forbade them, right? And so we can see, even in our work for the Lord, even in our service, we think we might be think we're doing something good, but we can't just depend on our experience. We can't just depend on our opinion, our concept, but we need the instant anointing from the Lord. You know, in Ephesians 4:3, it talks about being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. How can we keep the oneness of the Spirit? How can we be one with the Spirit? How do we know what it means to be one with the Spirit? Actually, saints, this is through the experience of the anointing. You know, saints, this is really practical, actually. In our daily life, we need to live by the anointing. You know, it's very good to be here with you all. Most of the time, I'm in the district in the Upper West Side, and in our district there, we have a lot of students. We have a lot of recent graduates that are just starting their careers, and even though I still feel like I'm young, many times they come to my wife Tina and I, and they ask us they come to us for practical fellowship. They ask us, well, what about this job? How about this school? What about this class? Should I go to the training, right? Oh, and then how about marriage, right? Oh, this is what people who are at this stage in life, this is what they're considering. And, you know, I was just very touched. Well, how do I answer these questions? What do I give to the brothers and sisters who come to us? Do I just sort of think about, okay, well, this is what I did, so, or do I think about, you know, this is my experience and this is what I've seen, and so this works and this doesn't work, or, you know, do I need a playbook of, okay, this is what you should say when someone asks this question? No, saints, actually, I would be altogether rendering them the wrong help if I did not lead these ones to turn to their spirit to try and sense what the inner anointing within them is leading. Actually, this is the answer to everything. You know, practically speaking, you know, we're a much smaller district than you all here in Hall 1 in Jamaica. There are a handful of us brothers who are trying to coordinate. And even though there are fewer people, it seems like we have our share of, I wouldn't say problems, but you know, things we need to fellowship, things we need to coordinate. How do we care for the children? How do we care for the nursery? What arrangement do we need to make for the college students? You know, how do we answer this situation? What about this set of new ones? What do we do? Well, again, when we get together to pray, when we get together to coordinate, actually the first thing we need to do is pray. And then we need to pray that the Lord would lead us through the anointing, right? This is the practical experience of being in the mutual abiding, right? Saints, actually following the anointing, this is the secret, right? When Paul talks about the secret, this is the secret. You know, the secret is not something that's unattainable. It's not something that's so high that we can't grasp it. Actually, taking the Lord's blood and following the anointing, this causes us to be in this mutual abiding, and this is the secret of experiencing Christ as the empowering one. Anyway, I was just I just really enjoyed that because I feel like this makes everything very tangible, right? We're in Him, He's in us. Praise the Lord for such a wonderful reality. But in our human mind, this can be challenging to grasp. But in experience, it's very easy, right? Oh, we just need to take the blood, we need to confess our sins, and then we need to follow the inner anointing. You know, I was also touched, the Lord is faithful, because in these verses in 1 Thessalonians 5, we have some, I think about them as guideposts or checks. How do we know if we're in the abiding? Maybe you feel like you're in the abiding, but I was touched, you know, these verses. Always rejoice. Unceasingly pray, in everything give thanks. Again, these are very familiar verses to us, but how often can we say we're always rejoicing? When we're complaining, when we're in a bad mood, when everyone seems to irritate us, we can't say we're always rejoicing. We're definitely not unceasingly praying. In our situation, can we really say in everything we give thanks? When the Lord gives us some kind of outward blessing, maybe it's easy to give thanks. Hopefully we don't forget, but but maybe it's easier to give thanks. But when we're in a difficult situation, you know, when the saints are over and my kids are misbehaving and I'm trying to control everything, and what do we do? Can I give thanks in that situation? Actually, saints, if we live in this mutual abiding, then we would be able to always rejoice, right? We would be able to give thanks in everything. And unceasingly praying is really just a matter of calling on the Lord, right? Are we those who are constantly calling on the Lord, taking him as our life? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'll just end here. I hope that many of you would share what you've enjoyed this week. You know, I'm just thankful. You know, today we know the secret.
That's right.
We know the secret of experiencing Christ as the empowering one. We just need to abide in him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, he abides in us.
Amen.
Even just the experience of taking the Lord's blood and following the anointing, by doing these things, we enter the experience of this mutual abiding.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.